And hello and welcome to today's show, Strategic Insights Radio, brought to you by Sterling Rose Consulting Corp. Sterling Rose Consulting Corp is a full-service business consulting firm that provides business plan creation and review, marketing plans, marketing implementation, process automation, accounting, payroll processing, CRM design and implementation, and business technology strategy consulting and implementation services. Today we have Sterling Rose Consulting Corp team member and the co-hosts of Strategic Insights Radio, David Wilkins. David's guest today is Adam Forand. David?
Thank you, Mike. That was very good.
Thank you very much.
Good. And we're going to change it up a little bit today, folks, because what we're going to do, rather than having Mike go through and do the introduction of Adam, as he has in the past for all our guests, we're going to change it up. We're going to have, actually, let's just talk it through, have Adam really explain what he does, because what he does, like a lot of our guests, is very, very interesting. The bios don't do it justice. So let's, Adam, really explain, you know, give me a little bit about your background, your history, and, you know, what do you do and why it's important?
Certainly. Well, thanks for having us, me, Partnership Gwinnett here today. David, do appreciate the opportunity to share our story and what it is that we do. What do I do on a daily basis? It's as unique as the day is. It's as unique as our community is. But essentially, my job is to sit in between our community's business and industry and our K through 16 educational environment. And in that equation, on any given day, when we talk about workforce and talent development and experiential learning, when one side of that equation raises their hand to acknowledge a need, my job is to convene and connect and catalyze a solution for that need. Sometimes it's on the business industry side. Actually, most of the time it's on the business industry side. Sometimes it's on the educational side. And perhaps it's our faculty and our teachers wanting to know what our business needs for the future around mm-hmm. their workforce, the talent, skills, and knowledge that they need to sustain themselves. And we bring them together in meaningful ways so that our community can continue to grow, whether it's our educational community and our students and the talent that's coming out of that pipeline, or perhaps it's the business industry and what they need.
Okay, great. Now, one of the things that, you know, I've seen, particularly, of course, you know, for our listeners, you know, they know we have a lot of activity with the Gwinnett County Chamber, but Partnership Gwinnett may not be as familiar to a lot of folks, especially those folks that are outside of our geographic area.
Certainly.
And would be interested in probably getting a sense of, you know, maybe not only just what Partnership Gwinnett can provide, but also are there equivalents in their local areas?
Yes. So a little description about Partnership Gwinnett. It is the economic and community development initiative of the Gwinnett Chamber of Commerce. So you can think of us as, in many ways, I think of us as the child of the chamber in terms of offshoot, focus, and direction. We are a public-private initiative. We are funded by our investors. Our investors include our county government, most of our municipalities, the cities of Gwinnett County. The Gwinnett County Public Schools is a significant investor in the work that we do, but also on the private side, and it could be both public and private entities, public and private companies who are concerned about the quality of the business environment in our community. They invest in us to achieve and work on three goals, the first of which is to recruit, retain, expand and start up businesses in Gwinnett County. And that really is the core focus and the core responsibility of Partnership Gwinnett. When we think about all of the entities, all the stakeholders, and all the organizations that are responsible for economic and community development in our community, we take the lead there. The second goal is around talent development, which I am responsible for on our team. And that is to ensure that, as I described earlier, that both our business industry have the resources and whatever it is that they need to continue to attract and develop and retain their talent. In some cases, that may be in terms of talent acquisition. It may be that they're acquiring talent from our schools and our colleges. And so the flip side of that is to ensure that we are developing programs that train, educate that skill of talent. And sitting in that universe of talent is my job to make sure, to monitor, to maintain, to continue to grow that balanced equation around talent. And then last but not least is community development. And in order to attract businesses, in order to retain talent, we have to have a high quality of life. And so while many folks in our community are actively engaged in working on community development, our job is to ensure that we lead the effort in redevelopment in particular, but ultimately that is owned, community development is owned and borne on the shoulders of every one of us, every one of my neighbors, every one of the businesses that are resident in our community. And so back home, wherever home may be, you may find that the Chamber of Commerce is the one that's leading the economic development initiative. Even locally here in Metro Atlanta, many of our peers, this effort is organizationally placed within the confines of an operating group, similar, maybe not so similar to Partnership Gwinnett. Sometimes it will be a local economic development authority.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, it may be a mix of the two. There's certainly many different unique combinations, I think, that reflect the needs, the unique needs of their community. In our situation, Partnership Gwinnett really accurately reflects how our leadership works across our public and private community and does a really good job of that. But you can certainly go take a good hard look around your community and you will find an economic developer somewhere in your midst.
Great. Yeah. Because that's, I think, for a lot of businesses, understanding where they can go to help get those resources that they can help them grow and be successful as well.
Yeah. And there are a lot of resources. And I think that's part of really the value proposition that to create economies and efficiencies for our businesses, to make accessible the resources and who holds those resources, who holds the key to those economies. A business owner may find it challenging and difficult to navigate through organizational charts, mm-hmm. Perhaps even their local government, and finding and getting to the right person who can be of help to them. That's our job, is to make those introductions, to connect them as quickly as possible.
Great, great. Now, I know there's a lot of news or media today that talks about the whole issue of talent. And,
yes.
You know, the fact that there's a lot of people say, well, you know, we can't find the people we really need to fill these jobs.
Mm-hmm.
We're hearing that, you know, that some of the training isn't, the education isn't lined up with what the businesses really need. You know, what's really going on out there, and how do you help address some of those challenges?
And they are numerous for sure, and you hit on quite a few of them, David. I'll speak to Gwinnett County, and perhaps maybe with a nod to the metro area, in understanding that it is unique to every community, it is unique to every metropolitan area across our country. But the question of where is the talent?
Mm-hmm.
We are a populous community. We are knocking on the door of 900,000 residents. Our public school system, Gwinnett County Public Schools, has and will have probably by the fifth count in the next couple of weeks, 180,000 students in our school system, our public school system. That's not to include Beaufort City Schools, which has another 4,000 or 5,000 as well. That is the source of talent, the future talent. But when we look at post-secondary education, between our sort of our crown jewel and the four-year bachelor's degree with Georgia Gwinnett College, we have the leading technical college in the state in Gwinnett Tech. We have a whole host of specialty institutions like the Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine, which is a great source of talent in the allied health field. We also have Brenau University, a campus in Norcross. We've got St. Leo. The list goes on, as you might imagine, with 900,000 residents. We have the infrastructure, educational infrastructure, to serve the needs of our community, which is ultimately the needs of our enterprises. The training disconnect that you had mentioned as well, the context in which we're operating now is a lot different than it was, say, 6-7 years ago in 2010, when unemployment rates were knocking on the door of 10% in our community and across the country. We now find ourselves locally at a really tight labor market, 4%, 4.2% unemployment, which means that a majority of our community is employed. That's not to say that there are folks still lingering on the sidelines and perhaps they're watching things like wage rates, hourly rates, and doing a sort of a rudimentary cost-benefit analysis about, do I go back into the labor pool or not? And I think with that comes some expectations on both sides of the equation. For the employer, it is there are the acknowledgement that because the labor market is so tight, that they may need to pursue passive job seekers, those who are not actively looking for jobs, but may have the skills and knowledge that they need in order to advance their business. The active job seekers, we know where to find them. Mm-hmm. They are making themselves known. And then in all of that context is also the understanding that the expectations of the employer in terms of the skills and knowledge that the marketplace can offer them is ultimately, are there enough people that have those skills?
Right.
That have that knowledge? And so we call that the skills gap. And filling the skills gap, even sometimes defining the skills gap, is a challenge because it's as unique as it is to every employer. There's responsibilities on both sides for the employer and the prospective employee to help articulate, you know, mm-hmm. what that means. And so we struggle. We struggle in every industry and in every sector, regardless of size, to create really good job descriptions that are accurate, that really talk about what is required of the job and not necessarily what would be nice to have. And sometimes defining what is required versus what's nice to have becomes blurry and can scare away and maybe disqualify individuals from applying for jobs because it's hard to articulate the difference between the two. The flip side for the prospective employee, really fully understanding what they're capable of, perhaps the context in which they've executed certain skills or leveraged certain knowledge, and whether or not it's transferable is a challenge as well. So getting to know oneself as an individual and what you bring to the table, I think can help bridge that skills gap. But ultimately, it's our educational system that in that equation understands what do the employers need. Perhaps we need to change our training programs. Perhaps we can provide customized training programs that can take a group of individuals who identify themselves as wanting to be competitive and participate in the labor market in a very specific sector, for example, and learn those skills and start bridging that gap in real meaningful ways. And then ultimately, as we talk about that skills gap, there's a whole spectrum of skills as well. We can talk about low skills, middle skills, and high skills. And that's, again, just depends. It depends on the employer, depends on the sector, depends on the employees themselves. So it's a multifaceted challenge when we talk about talent and talent development and how we continue to grow when we bring new jobs to our community.
Right. Now, one of the things that, again, that makes Gwinnett County very unique across the really across the United States, although it's, I think it's kind of as the saying goes, it's kind of like that forerunner or foreshadowing the future of the United States, because it's literally Gwinnett County is a minority majority county in the sense there is no majority, you know, whites or black or Hispanic or, you know, they're all a minority at this point in terms yes. of a percentage. Now, how does that play into to wow. the equation?
Yeah, it is one of our greatest assets, really. When we talk about a global economy in which even the smallest company now has the ability to export their product or even export their service to a marketplace that is speaks different languages, has different cultural mm-hmm. norms and customs, can emanate out of Gwinnett County. We talk about the demographics of our community reflect today. In 2017, Gwinnett County reflects the demographics of the United States of 2040. And in that statement comes a whole host of opportunity. When I think about a B2C type of proposition, if you're looking to remain competitive in a consumer-facing business, mm-hmm. Product or service, if you can operate in Gwinnett County today and be successful, in many ways, you're assuring yourself of success in the United States of 2040 because you know that you have really, you have taken advantage of our diversity as a marketplace. And when you find success here, you will find success broader in domestically. Globally, that has some unique implications as well. When we have foreign companies who come and seek to place their operations in the United States, perhaps to better serve their market here domestically, or perhaps even in North America or Latin in South America out of operations out of Gwinnett County, they come with a higher expectation of ability to speak a language, particularly for the markets that they serve, whether it's Portuguese or Spanish or perhaps some other languages in between. They can do so with a high degree of confidence that not only do we have the workforce that has the technical skills, but perhaps even those what may be defined as essential skills in terms of translation and language ability in terms of speaking and writing foreign languages.
Mm-hmm.
So it's multifaceted again, yet it's probably our greatest strength, in my opinion.
No, that's great. Now, you know, as part of that, and we were talking about it a little bit earlier in a kind of a tangential way, you get to this whole issue of the employers. You know, they're looking for specific skill sets. And
right.
Again, now they're more international and so mm-hmm. forth. How do these business leaders, you know, communicate their needs such to back to the educational system
yeah.
to make sure that the right skill sets are being learned and are taught as
right.
you are in schools, whether whatever level it is, whether it's high school or college or wherever, to make sure that the right skill sets are available.
Yeah, there's many points of entry for an employer to engage their local educational system. It can be as lightweight as showing up to a school board meeting, for example, when there may be an issue or topic that is directly relevant to them and understanding the implications that it may have for the pipeline of talent that's coming in. Sometimes it's maybe a little bit more of an engagement by serving on a committee that's reviewing curriculum that is specific to their business. Perhaps it's a physics curriculum evolution that's occurring, and that business owner can contribute to that in very real and meaningful ways to understand here is the practical applications of what we seek to teach our students. It can be as robust as hosting faculty in externships. Many times our teachers spend 180 days in the classroom on campus, and the opportunity and the time to get out off of campus, out of the classroom, and to visit with a business that is operating and using the knowledge and skills that they're imparting to their students is a critical way for them to better understand the relevance of what it is that they're teaching. Ultimately, that's what the students are seeking, is why do I need to know this? What good will it serve me in the future? And mm-hmm. perhaps the question is, what good will it serve my future employer? So hosting a teacher is a fantastic way to articulate those needs in a very efficient way, actually. In many ways, it's motivational and eye-opening for both the teacher and the business owner to understand that opportunity that is before them as they shape the minds of our future and our future of our community. But it could be as something as even more significant as hosting a student. We want to talk about efficiency. While going through the teacher is a great way to influence and to inform curriculum and execution of teaching and learning, when you host a student, ultimately you are shaping the inspiration and the aspirations of that individual. And in many ways, it's an opportunity to build your employer brand in your community, both with the faculty, with the school, but even more importantly, with that potential employee, that individual, that young man or young woman who has a sense of what they want to become in the future, but doesn't necessarily know how to accomplish that, nor do they fully appreciate or understand the context in which they think of themselves in the future, their future state. So when you host an intern in all its very many different forms, that is an incredible opportunity for a business to really build their future and to influence change and to guide their future workforce.
Yeah, that's great. When you talk about hosting and all that, but then in reality, what it really is offering an internship or just getting some sort of an internship program started.
Yeah, an internship is a loaded term, and it has many different meanings depending on who I'm talking to on any given day.
Uh-huh.
But ultimately, what we're talking about is contrasting what we talked about, a skills gap previously, mm-hmm. to what may be described as an experience gap. Is that whether you're a teacher or you're a student, the best way to learn is to have an experience. And so if it comes in the form of a paid or an unpaid internship, The word apprenticeship is used often, depending upon the cultural context as
right.
well. Co-ops, cooperative education is another method or opportunity for that. And many institutions host co-ops and have co-op programs. Shadowing, mentoring, these are all sort of different levels of engagement. But ultimately, it is the intentional effort of the business, the employer, to host a non-employee in their midst
mm-hmm.
to educate them. And I think that's the operative word, is really about education. Is it does not necessarily have to be that that young man or that young woman or the teacher is on the shop floor working a press or a machine, but may be visible and be present and be exposed to that. And you're right, there is an expectation of the employer to make it an appropriate experience for the student, for the teacher. But ultimately, in building an intentional experience also creates the opportunity to impart that knowledge and that perspective and what is needed to the right people. So mm-hmm. you are carving time out of your day to spend time with another who's not your employee, but could be your employee in the future, to invest in them in a way that allows them to grow. And perhaps you as a business, you as an owner, may grow, and chances are pretty good you will grow from the perspective that they bring to you about maybe there's some new ways of doing things. Perhaps there's a young man or woman who might be able to educate you on social media about how you can promote your company, your business, your brand into a target market that perhaps you never thought was accessible before. So
right.
it does go both ways.
Yeah. And I think that's important to really, for a lot of businesses, especially the small businesses and medium-sized businesses, the owners who think that, you know, I don't have time for this.
Mm.
But in many aspects, you probably don't have, if you don't take the time, you're missing out on a great opportunity.
You are, I'd say, I don't know that you can afford not to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly.
And it can be something that starts out really small, but intentional. And I think that's the important note, is that you don't have to necessarily come in with the expectations of someone else and like say that I'm going to offer a 14-week internship that's incredibly robust and articulated and it touches every full rotation of our business and all its operations. You don't have to start there. You can start at the most simplest and most efficient way that you know is appropriate for your business. It could be just as simple as a one-day shadowing.
Mm-hmm.
And that in and of itself can be life-changing. It can be the spark that ignites a young man or young woman's path for the rest of their life. And ultimately, they will be thankful for that. They will remember you and your company and your organization. And perhaps it goes from one day to 2 days a week. And then maybe from 2 days a week to 4 days a week. In defining that for yourself and for your company, it's going to be just taking stock of where perhaps could you serve your community by serving your business's needs. And sometimes it's adding a little extra capacity. If you have that intern or that extern or that apprentice, that cooperative student, or perhaps that faculty member contributing to the capacity and productivity of your company by doing something small.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be significant. It does not have to create a liability for OSHA.
Right.
It can be something that you define in a discrete way, like a project. Here is a small project that I can have this individual execute on our behalf. And in doing so, he or she learns something about our business, about our sector, about how we are most competitive. And then it grows from there. And I think what you'll find is it, as a business owner, you'll find it to be infectious. You'll find that it will continue to grow in your mind, and the opportunity that is present in you, present in your company and for you, but also for your community as well. And so just know that you can start small and you can always grow from there.
Right. Yeah, it isn't exactly. You don't have to have this big formal program like a lot of the large corporations have
yeah.
that, you know, are very well structured and run them through a whole series of different divisions and so forth to
yeah.
Job experiences. Yeah.
And I think that's where I'm always hesitant to use the word internship, because it's a loaded term. It does come with a whole host of expectations
yeah.
and it does not have to be that way. It is an accurate descriptor of what we're talking about, just experiential or work-based learning.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not necessarily in everyone's vocabulary right now, work-based learning. So let's talk about internships just as an experience, and it can be very nimble or lightweight, or it can grow to be something very significant.
You know, one of the things that there's a lot of conversation about, and you know, I've been to a number of different presentations where they've talked about jobs and various generational issues. You know, and of course now, you know, the big thing has been employers' issues with how to deal with the millennials and the younger generation.
Yep.
You know, what's your take on
that? Well, I'm a Gen Xer. In the 90s, coming out of college, we were maligned.
Like every other generation.
Absolutely. Yeah. But you're right. What you're acknowledging is that in our workforce now, in the midst of our companies and organizations, we have four generations commingling in a workplace. And that does pose a challenge. But as much maligned as the millennials are, we've all been maligned. The fact is that the millennials are a large group, particularly as the baby boomers transition into retirement. And because they're such a large group, everyone's trying to wrap their head around how do we work with them? Ultimately, just like anything, it's all about the individual. And as unique as the company may be, so too are the applicants, the prospects, and those ultimately that are hired. They are all individual. And I think across those generations, we share many of the same values. It perhaps is a different context. I have three children of my own, and the world in which they are growing up is one that I do not recognize as being very close to the experiences that I had as a child. That doesn't mean it's better or worse or they're right and we are wrong, but understanding and seeking understanding about values is as different as what you value, David, versus what I value, and how we spend our time and where we spend our money.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's in that equation, it's incumbent upon both parties, both the employer and the prospective employee, to know themselves, to articulate those values and what is required versus maybe what's nice to have, and come to an agreement about whether or not there's a good fit. But then when I start thinking about the Gen Zs that are behind the millennials and what are their expectations, I think those expectations continue to evolve and change based upon the changes that are happening in our communities and our societies across the nation. So Gen Zs are not fully formed, just like the millennials are not fully formed. As they grow older and they have children, things will change.
Oh, yeah.
Their perspective will change.
That's for sure. As the responsibilities grow, priorities definitely do change. No question about that. And I think that what it comes down to in many cases, if you're an employer, I mean, the reality is you've got to be in a position to understand that people they're an asset. You got to treat them as really value add to your business. And recognize that, you know, how you define the people, how you define how they need to work with you, with their coworkers, their customers, and so forth, is largely drives the success of the organization.
By all means, and it does start with the organization. It starts with that, with a stated or perhaps an unstated mission statement and a vision for the organization. And how that manifests itself on a daily basis from leadership, management, directors, frontline workers. It's ensuring consistency across all levels of an organization, which is a challenge. It just is, particularly as an organization, enterprise may seek to remain relevant and sustainable as the market changes, as the sectors change. Disruption is everywhere in every sector. Mm-hmm. Dealing with change is not an easy thing at all, let alone dealing with changing expectations of employees. And what does that mean? And how do you make investments in your employees? But ultimately, you are correct that those assets are your most valuable. And remaining intent and focused on your employees' experience, ultimately at the same level as you are committed to your customers' experience, is absolutely critical. And I'll go back to that balanced equation.
Right.
You know, and maintaining balance is not easy in today's market for sure.
Oh, no. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it's the old saying, you know, if you're not moving ahead, you know, you can't stand still, because there is no standing still. It's either you're moving ahead or you're falling behind. And if you're falling behind, there's somebody there that's going to jump all over you and eat your lunch in the competitive market that we're in today.
They will do that for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a really interesting conversation. And
is it time to go already?
Well, yeah, you know, we're getting there. You know, time flies. Actually, really true. Time flies when you're having fun. I mean, I just looked and I realized, oh, goodness, we've been talking for quite a while now. You know, one of the things that I just wrap up on is how can people learn more about, you know, getting in contact with you, getting in contact with Partnership Gwinnett.
Certainly.
And the chamber for that matter.
Absolutely. So partnershipgwinnett.com, best place to find me and what we do and the programs that we host. We are engaged in the community in programmatic ways and events-based ways, but email Adam Forand, it's aforand@partnershipgwinnett.com is the best way to reach me most efficiently and effectively. But just know that wherever you are, go to your chamber, find the economic development organization in your community, and they are there to serve and to help you grow.
Super. Well, thank you, Adam. It's been a real pleasure having you on
the
show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, David. That's the fastest 30 minutes in radio, I think, right there. again, thank you, David. Thank you, Adam, very much. For more information about Adam, the Gwinnett Chamber Economic Development and Partnership Gwinnett, or David Wilkins, or to find out more about Sterling Rose Consulting Corp, contact Sterling Rose Consulting Corp at 678-996-1312 or visit their website, sterlingroseconsultingcorp.com.